This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Who got out early?
Lisa did. She was like signing off at like 12 minutes, 12 seconds early.
Dipping out early, huh?
Yeah, what are you doing, Lisa?
People still listening, you know?
Yeah. Don't be, come on. I give 100%. Well, maybe not.
You did on the Corey interview. That was pretty good.
That was fun.
Here's your ESPN Radio weather forecast brought to you by Gerber. Lon, when do you get to Gerber?
When your fender can't fend for itself.
Exactly when you do
Bam!
It. That's when you get to Gerber locations throughout Central Illinois. Visit GerberCollision.com or call 877-7-GERBER, G-E-R-B-E-R, to find your nearest Gerber location. Currently 41 and cloudy, no more snow. Thank the Lord. Down to 33 tonight. Rain tomorrow. 47 is the high. Wednesday's going to be nice. Get outside. Get your walks in. 58 degrees and sunny before a lot of rain Thursday, Friday, and throughout the weekend.
Okay.
ESPN Radio.
And here we go.
There's a drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done. Well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete. Face-up shooter.
High drive.
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Isaac Ambrose in as well. Fun to catch up with Corey Bradford. I know a lot of you are texting in right now. Steven from Chicago. Maybe sports should be off more often. These interviews are kicking butt. I had to clean it up a little bit. Thanks for keeping us entertained, said Jim. I like to hear, that's great to hear from Corey Bradford. Fun to just listen to all the stories. And Corey Bradford was here, of course, and pretty cool that he played for Lon Kruger and also Bill Self. So cool just to go back. And I've said it all the time, that run that they made as freshmen, I went to Chicago with one pair of khakis and two shirts and two pair of underwear. And then they played all the way till Sunday. I had to go buy underwear because I was stuck in Chicago at my brother's condo just essentially because they just kept winning. They upset Minnesota. They upset Indiana. They upset Ohio State with Scoony Penn and Michael Redd and those guys. And then all of a sudden they ran into a really good Michigan State team, their fourth game in 4 days. That's asking a lot. I just remember that whole time thinking, please let Michigan State get upset. And then we'd have a chance to get it. But what a run. That's a memorable ending to a season for Illinois, certainly. And then the rest of the time Corey was here, they didn't miss many tournaments.
We need to talk more about that 2000-2001 season. We'll do that maybe 5:30.
Okay, you've done some research on that. Right now, we're going to welcome into the program, and we are extremely honored a second time for this to happen. That's Adrian Griffin. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well, considering, you know, the circumstances.
Amen.
Obviously, we all wish we were playing a little ball, but I think the health has to come first right now.
Yeah, and I saw on Twitter you singing, and I thought, man, we got to get him something to do.
Well, my wife put me up to that. She said, just try it. And then it went from trying it, oh, we got to upload this, and we got to share it. So I think she knew from the beginning. She was setting me up for that.
Is that your voice in there, or is that lip singing?
Oh, no, I can't sing.
I was going to say, that was good.
If I could sing like that, I don't think I'd be doing it.
Right.
That's awesome.
Coach, what's it like? Assistant coach of the Toronto Raptors, former NBA player, father of Colonel Allen Griffin. Adrian, what's it like in the NBA right now? Just the uncertainty of not knowing when you'll be back. And then when the news came out, Rudy Gobert tested positive, the Thunder and the Jazz escorted off the court. So could you just take us through how you saw that from your vantage point and what's the reaction from the Raptors side?
Well, I think there's just those times in life where life trumps basketball.
Sure.
And I think everyone was on the same page. We knew this was bigger than, you know, us wanting to coach and the players wanting to play. The health of, you know, America, health of the whole world, health of, you know, Canada here and everyone. I just commend everyone for taking the necessary steps. You know, what happened with the Utah players, that could happen with any team, with anyone. So we all kind of looked upon it as compassion, having a sense of compassion about what everyone was going through. You know, obviously we're in Canada, and my wife and I would love to, you know, be a little closer to our family and make sure they're okay. But, you know, I think it's so important for everyone just to follow proper protocol and, you know, practice social distancing and limit the travel and stay inside. You know, I just finished my 14 days of self-quarantine, and, you know, we all got tested, the entire Toronto Raptors organization, and we all tested. It had a negative testing on that, and but still, you know, you still want to be a part. I still feel like, you know, it's part of being a team, and now it's just a global team where everyone has to just play their role. Everyone has to do their part to make this work.
Seemed like Adam Silver did carry the torch for this in terms of sports here in the United States, of being the one to postpone the season, stop it, and then also the NCAA tournament followed suit after that and some of these other professional leagues. So maybe what does it say about the leadership that he had there, and just from inside of the league, what was that like as that unfolded?
Well, I think, I just commend Alex Silver just for you know, a lot of the owners are losing a lot of money, you know, and the players are not able to get on the floor and showcase their talents and play the game that they love. But, you know, I think everyone has taken a united stance of that health has to come first. And I've heard Alex say that several times. You know, it's really a lot of uncertainty out there. We don't know when, you know, we're going to start up again or if we're going to start. You know, I've heard things such as late or mid-June. You know, I've heard August. I've heard, you know, we may not even continue the season this year. And but like I said before, I think the league has done a tremendous job as far as just sending the message that the health of the nation and our country and our neighboring countries has to come first. And this is bigger than basketball, bigger than sports right now. And, you know, the only thing is just wish that everyone would get on board, you know, and some people don't take it as serious as I think we would all like. But it is serious. And, you know, but if you do the right things and you take the precautionary steps, I think we'll be fine when this is all over.
Adrian, you said it right there, and you're right. It is bigger than sports, but you guys are having a heck of a year again, the defending champions in the NBA, right. Second in the East. Is it hard to think about potentially if the season doesn't come back, or just how do you go about that as a coach in communication with your players and just having that abruptly stop and try to continue to stay engaged and just kind of combating that idea of just uncertainty?
Well, everyone is kind of right now and then the holding blocks right now waiting to see. So it's not a lot that we can do other than to stay in touch with each other. You know, keep texting the players and checking on them, make sure that they have everything they need. We have an unbelievable medical staff that's doing everything that they can, you know, delivering equipment to the players, meals to the players. So, just making sure that we can control what we can control. I think the biggest thing for the coaches, though, is that, you know, we have really good momentum going. You know, we're second in the East, and we have our core. You know, I put our core team against anyone. You know, they know how to play together. They're smart and intelligent. And we have our identity, which is toughness. You know, we have some tough kids on our team that know what it takes to win. And once you win it, you know, you kind of know what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, forward. And I think that's why, we were all very excited, you know, about this postseason coming up because I thought our guys got better. Pascal got better. Fred got better. Kyle was, you know, he's an unbelievable leader. And Mark was coming back from injury. So it just seems like we were putting all the pieces together. And unfortunately, you know, play got, you know, there was a stoppage in play. But we still are optimistic. You know, the season does continue to pick up and we start playing some ball, I think we'll have an advantage because our guys have played together.
Sure.
Before they won together. They know what it takes. And they're eager to prove, like, what we did last year, you know, what's in the flukes. And we're ready to roll.
Adrian Griffin, our guest, lead assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors, played many years in the NBA, and of course, dad of Allen. And we're going to talk to you for a second, of course, about Allen Griffin and his play here at University of Illinois. One more about the Raptors, coach. When, you know, I'm a Blues fan, and the Blues finally won a Stanley Cup, and that city in St. Louis went crazy. And you watch what happened in Toronto when you guys won the title and how the city and the entire country, it felt like, embraced that Raptors team. What was that like to see just how excited an entire country was with you guys winning an NBA title?
You know, I've been in the NBA for 20 years. Last year marked the 20th year.
Wow.
And I was fortunate to experience winning a championship, but I've always try to imagine what it would be like. And I tell you, it just exceeded everything that I could ever have thought of, what it would be like to win an NBA championship. The fans were unbelievable. We had millions of people in the streets, on light poles, on stop signs, on, you know, buildings hanging off the roof. And it was just, you know, it took us about 6 hours to get to our you know, when we started the celebration, we left from our practice facility, and it was only supposed to be a 20-minute ride to the downtown where the venue was being held, and it took us 6 hours to get there because we were so many people in the streets. So, you know, we're just moving on like an inch at a time, and, you know, people were grabbing us and screaming, and it was just so much red out there. Everyone had their Toronto Raptors T-shirts and sweaters and it was unbelievable, man. It was a great feeling, you know, to be on the stage and see just a wave of people just genuinely excited and happy for the city and the country. And that's the thing about playing in Toronto, that, you know, you're not just representing a city. You know, you're not representing Chicago or Dallas or Boston. Like, you're representing the whole country. You know, we have people from the other side of Canada, you know, come through. And
incredible.
So it was remarkable, man. It was very memorable and something I'll never forget.
Adrian, I want to ask you about your son, Allen Griffin. Had a breakthrough season here as a sophomore in Champaign. Shot over 41% from three and a rebounding machine, particularly the offensive end. Just what did you see from him? How exciting was that to have that breakthrough this year? And how confident were you that was going to happen, where last year, you know, you go through the process of being a freshman and have to grow and have to learn, but to see it pay off for him as a sophomore, what was that like for you?
Well, obviously, as a father, I was, you know, very excited for him, very happy. Felt like he put in the work. And, you know, the beauty about sports is that, you know, nothing is going to be handed to you. You got to work for it. I don't care who you are. Talent gets you so far, and eventually hard work has to take over. Or you just find yourself on the outside looking in. And so, you know, his freshman year is tough, and it's tough for every freshman. I mean, I called home the first 3 months when I left away to go to school up in New Jersey, and I cried for three straight months. You know, just playing for PJ. He was a tough coach, and I learned to really love him and appreciate how hard he was on us. Because, you know, when I got to the pros, I look back and saw how prepared I was because of what we were doing in college under Carlissimo. And I think I was going to say the same thing. You know, I think Coach Underwood, he's tough, he's demanding, but I think he's fair. I think he brings the best out of the players. And I saw tremendous growth out of Allen, not just with his play, but also with his body. You know, playing Division I sports, you know, a lot of that has to go into, you know, how well you do has a lot to go into how well you take care of your body, how you build your body. It's a physical need. I thought Allen got stronger. I think, you know, it'd be nice to see him put on a couple more pounds on that frame because I think he can hold it.
Sure.
But, you know, skill-wise, you know, I would put him up shooting the ball. You know, where he shoots the ball, I'd put him up against anyone in the country. You know, obviously, he still has room for growth, and that's a good thing. You know, continue to, you know, once you are labeled as a shooter and teams will start game planning and make you put it on the floor. So, you know, he's going to have to continue to work on his handles and attacking the rim and kind of maybe even finding that mid-range game or in-between game. But I think he's moving in the right direction. I think you can say that for the entire team, the whole program, that under Coach Underwood. I think he did a phenomenal job this year.
You've seen a bunch of players, whether during your playing career, your coaching career, he just has a knack on the glass. Where does that come from? What do you see that as a dad, as a coach? Is that something you can teach? Is that something you try to instill in him? Or is that just kind of a natural instinct where he just knows where to be?
I think it's a combination of everything you just mentioned. I think being around the game at a young age, you know, you kind of have a good feel of just the rhythm of the game. And I also think that, you know, the beauty of basketball is a team sport, and you can find ways to be impactful and effective on the floor without shooting. You know, I did that for 9 years in the NBA, just find ways to contribute, you know, getting your team second chance points and opportunities. I mean, that's huge. You know, any coach will tell you, you know, if they can ever get a couple more shots than their opponent, then they're probably going to have a greater advantage at the end of the day. And I thought Allen just found ways to contribute to sure. His team. You know, if I was hitting a shot, taking those open threes, or running the floor, you know, I think as an athlete or, you know, a basketball player, you want to maximize, you know, your skill set. And whatever that is, you bring that to the team. And that's what being a pro is about. You know, on this level, it's the same message as well. What are you going to bring to the team every night? You know, not sometimes or when you feel like doing the job. Like, so, you know, Allen, you got to bring that every night. You know, you're called on to make shots. You know, you bring energy. That's your game. You know, we were talking throughout the course of the season. He'll say, Dad, you know, what do you think I need to do? And sometimes I would tell him, I said, you know, your energy, you know, like there's a big difference when you're into the ball, you're playing defense, you have a long wingspan, and when you're impacting the ball and causing and forcing turnovers, if you run the floor on offense, attacking the glass, and then, you know, obviously spotting up behind the three-point line. So, you know, we kind of break down the game and just tell them, you know, there's always ways to impact the game. You know, it doesn't. Sometimes we all get caught up in wanting to shoot the ball and score, and that, those things are all great. And sometimes that is your role as a player.
Sure.
Maybe called on to carry that. You know, I played with Dirk Nowitzki for many years, and it's not easy in the NBA going out and averaging 20-plus points. You know, but the beauty of it, when you're the good teams, they value all the roles. All roles are important. And, you know, I played with some really good teammates, you know, that – appreciated the dirty work that I would bring to the table. And
nice.
I think when everyone's pulling in the right direction, and you saw that from U of I this season, you know, everyone had their role, and I felt like everyone really embraced it. And I think that's why they had the success they had.
Well said. Adrian Griffin, wrapping up with Adrian Griffin. I wanted to ask, I mean, this is a team that won 12 games 2 years ago, and then they win 21, and of course the season unfortunately ended this year with 21 victories. But I don't know how many games you're even able to watch, Coach, but what did you see kind of as a maturation, not just with Allen, but with the rest of this team? Was there something that kind of, in your mind, clicked? And you just mentioned, you know, the fact that they all found their roles. Was that kind of the reason why this Illinois team did so well?
Well, I think, it all starts from the top, in my opinion. And I think the work that Coach Underwood and staff, like, you can see the changes that they made.
Sure.
You know, I think part of, being a coach as far as your responsibility as a team is putting your team in the best possible position to succeed. And you can see how we changed a few sets, moved things around. They changed, a couple of nuances in their defense. You could tell, like, with their roster, they did an unbelievable job of just recruiting those guys. You know, Kofi, Io, Trent, and some good players coming off the bench, including Allen. And you got that big fella in the middle, and you build around him. You know, you got dynamic point guards. So, I saw how they started adapting a lot of post steps. Fetch a little dribble weave to get into those mid pick and rolls. I mean, honestly, that's the formula. Like, you got Kofi and pick and rolls and him rolling to the rim. Good luck with that. You know, you try to take away his dunks, and that's going to lead for kickouts. And, Io's unbelievable penetrator again to the rim. And then when he's able to knock down his perimeter shots, he's really unstoppable out there. And so, I thought Coach Underwood did a really good job of kind of just opening the floor and opening up the offense a little bit and start, just playing to everyone's strength, And like I said before, I thought they did a good job of kind of running some motion, get some bodies moving, then into those mid pick and rolls at the end. If you watch a lot of pro games, you'll see that quite a bit. And then they were good stops and their defense was phenomenal. They had a lot of length, and you just park Kofi right underneath that rim, and he did an unbelievable job. The only thing I would say, with Kofi is I don't know if he ever heard of Bill Russell, but one thing Bill Russell would do is keep those blocks in play, and that's going to give them opportunity to just get a stop, and then when they get out in transition, they're hard to beat. So, but overall, I thought this. Credit to Underwood for making those adjustments early in the season, and that takes a lot of courage from coaches to say, okay, we may need to go in a different direction. And you have to be a great teacher to do that. You really have to be a great communicator to kind of switch lanes and early in the season. And it takes a good wherewithal to have that feel to say, okay, this might suit us better, and then having the courage to go out and do it. And it worked, and you got to tip your hat off to them.
Final one for you, Coach. Obviously, a lot is still up in the air as far as when you guys are going to come back, but also for NBA draft prospects to not have the stage of the NCAA tournament, potentially there's talk of no NBA combine. How much do you think that affects maybe players who are considering the draft? Kind of that whole process, and how do you see that from the NBA side as you're evaluating talent and maybe having those opportunities taken away?
Well, I think one, the NBA really does, they really do their due diligence. Just not in the postseason. I've talked to several scouts. They will text me or call me and say, hey, we're at the U of I game, watching your son, watching Io, They know who these guys are. They really do their homework. And now, today, with the way technology is, if you can play, they'll find you. So I wouldn't worry about too much. Obviously, we all miss the postseason. As a player, that's when you can really solidify your opportunities and take advantage of being on that stage of, with the whole world watching. But like I said before, the NBA is the multi-billion-dollar industry, and a lot of resources go into bringing in the right players and scouting the players. And it's a global game, and you know, these guys go to the ends of the earth looking for talent. So, you know, if you can play, they know who you are.
Well said. Adrian Griffin, it is an absolute honor for you to join us again. We can't thank you enough. Well done with getting Allen how he's doing it, because we love him here at Illinois. Can't wait to watch him progress the next 2 years as well. Hey, you and your wife stay safe. Keep singing.
Will do. I will. I appreciate that.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate
all right, buddy. Adrian Griffin, that's cool, man. He's the lead assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors. I was looking at his Wikipedia. Played at Seton Hall, and he began his NBA career with the Celtics. He had been undrafted out of Seton Hall, but then he went, having spent the previous 3 years in Italy. So he started with the Celtics, then he played with the Mavericks, Rockets, Bulls. And it's kind of cool that he was like, in February, Griffin was, 2008, traded to the Supersonics in an 11-player deal that involved players from the Bulls, Cavaliers, and Supersonics. And then later, in August of that year, he was traded to the Bucks in a 3-team, 6-player deal involving the Bucks, Cavs, and Thunder. I mean, he's been all over, right? I mean, it's just unreal what he's been able to accomplish. He coached for the Bucks. It's amazing who he's been able. He's coached for the Bucks, the Bulls, the Magic, the Thunder, and now, of course, with the Raptors, and he's an NBA champion as an assistant with the Toronto Raptors. Very cool. He's got a son, Adrian Jr., that is going to Duke, correct?
Big deal. Committed to Duke in the 2021 class, so he'll be a senior this upcoming year, next year. But 24/7 has him as the number 6 player in the country.
Wow. And, of course, the best athlete in the Griffin house is not Allen or Adrian Jr. It's their daughter. She's going to UConn, right?
UConn.
She plays at UConn.
Just had her freshman year at UConn. She was a McDonald's All-American. So
unreal.
Pretty talented. Pretty talented.
Does it make you think that if they had 10 kids, all 10 would play high-level basketball?
Well, and the mom was an All-American sprinter.
Oh my goodness. Well, there you go. So it'd be very rare if the kids weren't athletic as like they are. So, you know, and that's the exciting thing about a guy like Allen Griffin. You look at Adrian, again, a guy goes undrafted out of Seton Hall, and he even said it in that interview. He's like, I think my teammates appreciated the dirty work I did. Now, Allen is obviously skilled, but, you know, I can still go back, and one of the memories that always comes to me is back in the Maui Invite, his freshman year against Gonzaga, when Allen Griffin came in and was a beast on defense, using his wingspan, causing a lot of issues. And I think he's a guy that when he plays almost, I don't want to say out of control, but when he plays with energy, like his dad just said, he can just ramp his game up to the next level. And to be able to watch Allen Griffin now for the next 2 years, it will be fun to watch him physically get bigger, and he talked about that. He could stand to gain a few pounds, and I can remember a guy like Kendall Gill that, you know, his freshman year, he was a skinny little guy, and by the time he was a junior, his shoulders were just huge.
Yep.
And you're going to watch this progression of Allen over the next 2 years, if we're lucky to get him for two more, of how he progresses, gets stronger, and just becomes a better basketball player to help Illinois. He's the kind of guy, Derek, that by his senior year, all of a sudden, you know, you might look at a team that, let's say they get to an Elite Eight or something, and you're like, man, that was the year that Allen Griffin just took over.
Yeah, I mean, his upside is really exciting. He could be your top scorer potentially even next year.
I agree.
As a shot maker, already shot 41% from three this past season. I thought he finished at the rim at a pretty good level this year. Adrian mentioned doing more off the bounce, potentially with the pull-up game. If Io's not there, someone else could potentially step up and do that. Allen could do that. He finishes above the rim. I think that's one thing that maybe we underrated, his athleticism.
No doubt.
He's got some bounce.
How many years did Illinois play below the rim?
Quite a few.
And now Allen's just, you know, you watch that one shining moment.
Yes.
The
dunk.
Yeah. The stuff that he was able to do just in those little highlights, you're like, oh my goodness.
But he's got the wingspan too to make an impact defensively, getting his hands in the passing lanes. And now you can tell this past year versus freshman year, he was just playing with his instincts and not thinking too much and worrying about making mistakes. He was just kind of flying around. And he does. He has a rare knack on the glass of just knowing where to be, and he goes hard every single time.
He does.
To the backboard.
And he's learning, right? I mean, he had a learning deal at Purdue, You wouldn't let ask him about that.
I didn't say he couldn't.
He also had a learning moment against Michigan State and not boxing Xavier Tillman out, right?
Correct. That's right.
And so I think those are little moments that, you know, you look at and you say, all right, get better at this now, right? We're not stepping on somebody anymore. That's done. And then also we're going to, you know, in a tight game, everything matters. It matters that you check your guy and keep him off the – and listen, that's just a couple of things, and I could go on and on and on about positives for Alan Griffin. But
it's experience.
It is.
Because being on the opposite side, on the opposite block for when Cassius went up, I believe.
Yes.
And he jumped to try – like, you're not going to be able to get that.
Right.
So it was in the moment – not getting overly excited. Okay, my job is still box out Xavier's rolling to the lane.
Because you had Kofi going up for the block. So I think in Allen's mind, although, you know, Allen's an athlete.
Sure.
And his thought is, I'm getting over there and I'm going to save this game by blocking the shot. So it's hard to, it's not like he was just being lazy. I mean, he was going 100% effort, and a coach will tell you all the time, I won't get mad at effort.
One of these games, too, Leighton was in the Wisconsin game, he sat a long time with foul trouble, still came in late in that game and hit two big threes.
Boom. That was fun. Off the bench, comes around off a curl screen. Frank, holy cow, Io finds him.
He's dishing like Frank.
Yeah, he was. And he just drilled it. That was fun to talk to Adrian Griffin. That's the second time we've had him on, and I can't thank him enough
you
for doing that.
You killed it with the interview.
This is good, man.
We owe you.
Bradford and Adrian, that's awesome.
It'll be hard to match.
Hey, tomorrow, by the way, Jack Watkins, who most of you probably don't know Jack, but Jack is the associate commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference and is a guy that I met when I was young, right out of college. Jack, of course, he's been in that role for a long time behind Doug Elgin, who's been a longtime commissioner. Doug Elgin's one of those guys that quietly is becoming a very valued commissioner in college basketball. I know that Jim Delaney was always the guy, but Doug Elgin has done a great job with that Missouri Valley, and he's seen that conference through a lot of changes, the coming and going of Creighton, of Wichita State, the addition of like a Loyola, and I think they do a great job, Doug and Jack. But Jack was the tournament manager for the NCAA first two rounds in St. Louis. So eight games that were supposed to be played in St. Louis. I know a lot of Illini fans were hoping and praying that Illinois would end up in St. Louis in that region. And, of course, we all know what happened. They pulled the tournament. They weren't able to play the games. Imagine all the work you did to get those games in place. And then, what, a week before, almost exactly a week before, because St. Louis was supposed to play on a Thursday and a Saturday. And on Thursday...
That's right. Yeah.
Basically, on Thursday, they pulled the plug on sports in general and canceled the NCAA tournament. So Jack Watkins is going to join us tomorrow at 5:05 to talk about that. And, man, I know, like, you know, he told me today, he's like, Lon, feel bad for me. That's fine, whatever. He goes, but I feel bad for the restaurants, the hotels, all the people that were expecting big crowds to help finance, you know, their businesses, and it all got pulled. So we'll visit with Jack tomorrow. I think it could be a fun interview with Jack Watkins tomorrow at 5:05. I hope you join us for that. All right, got to take a break. When we come back, we'll figure out something to talk about.
Let's talk Illinois 2001.
Yes, that's what we'll do. We'll do it next. This drive.
Country Squire Cleaners, serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 40 years, provides customers with quality service at a reasonable price. Shirts and suits, dresses and gowns, even suede and leather. They can do it all. Country Squire Cleaners offers same-day shirt service and one-hour dry cleaning. Make dirt and grime on your favorite garments a thing of the past when you bring them into Country Squire Cleaners. Located at 1805 West Springfield Avenue in the Round Barn Plaza in Champaign, or give them a call at 217-356-9400.
The Champaign County Forest Preserve District offers lots of great winter fun. Their educational programs will teach you about owls, how to make maple syrup, woodcocks, and more. Outside offers sledding at Homer Lake, cross-country skiing, trail hikes, and ice fishing. On clear nights, head to Middle Fork River Forest Preserve in Penfield to check out the stars. You'll be amazed with views at Illinois' first international dark sky park. Go to ccfpd.org to see all they have to offer for you to get closer to nature this winter.
It's time to play another round of Name That Company. Today's lucky contestant is Hans from Illinois. How are you, Hans?
Doing well.
Are you ready for round one?
Yeah.
Okay. This company is an award-winning car dealership located right here in central Illinois.
Is it Hot Wheels?
Oh, so close. Their friendly and helpful staff is committed to helping you find the vehicle of your dreams.
Is it Matchbox?
They're located on the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy.
Oh, I know. It's Honda BMW Champaign.
That's right. Just like Honda BMW, you're a winner.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Madison.
Wow, you seem charged up for this job.
Hey, Miss Johnson, what's this you got cooking here on the stove?
Now, Billy, I told you to stay out of that until supper time, you hear me?
But, Miss Johnson, it smells so good, and it's so cold out.
I know it smells good, Billy. It's because it's my famous stew with a great cut of meat from the U of I Meat Sales Room.
If you're looking for the best cuts of meat for stew, soups, or any dish that will keep you warm this winter, head to the U of I Meat Sales Room. The U of I Meat Sales Room on the corner of Maryland and Florida in Urbana.
If you're looking to save money at a grocery store with fresh fruits and vegetables, with in-store help, and someone who bags your groceries, I invite you to visit Value Check, where cost plus food creates more savings. Value Check, where quality and price meet you in the middle. Did I say you'll save money? You'll save money. Fantastic specials every single week. If you want to save money on your groceries, visit Value Check today. They're at 1914 Glen Park Drive in Champaign.
Alani fans, we know great things only come from hard work and passion. Like Jet's Detroit-style pizza, made in deep steel pans for the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest to the edge crust. It's pizza perfection, and it's back for a limited time. Get a large Mediterranean pizza with premium mozzarella, feta, fresh spinach, and tomato, all for just $13.99. Promo code FETA. Jets, better because it has to be.
Hey, it's Stevie J. Just a heads up, we've made some changes to our Stever program. You're entering into a drawing, no longer an instant win. We were inundated to the point where we needed to open the portal for an hour. And again, that hour gives you time to get to the office, get home, not have to try it while you're driving in a hurry. If you win, you'll get an email from us telling us you've won. If you don't win, your chances to win next time increase. Keep trying. Go to GoStever.com if you've not registered. It just takes a few minutes at GoStever.com.
Hi, this is Chelsea Bender, your skincare specialist at Advanced Aesthetics in Champaign. We offer a variety of customized facials that provide your skin with a more radiant and refreshed appearance.
I go to Advanced Aesthetics to get my facials because the technicians there are always able to answer my questions. I honestly look forward to going in and getting my facials because they make it so relaxing and just a great overall experience. They carry a great passion for their work, and I can't thank them enough for everything they've done for me.
To find out more and book your appointment, give us a call at 356-3850.
New Year's Day is over, but our next biggest sale of the year starts now. It's our 25-year anniversary in Champaign-Urbana. We are saying thank you with huge savings throughout the store during the entire month of March.
I'm Paul Reakin, Senior Vice President and Sales Division Manager for Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Thank you, Champaign-Urbana, for making Dick Van Dyke number one for appliance sales and service. Over the past quarter century, your support of our local business has helped Dick Van Dyke support local charities like See You at Home and Habitat for Humanity, local athletics like your hometown Fighting Illini. We are honored to win the People's Choice Award 2 years running for best in appliance sales and service.
Thanks, Paul. Let's make it another 25 years. Start off your spring saving money at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World's 25-year anniversary sale. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
John 3:16 states, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." If your life has no direction or purpose, if you serve no one but yourself, and if you want to change the direction and outcome of your life, visit a local church this Sunday. Most churches have free Bibles. Ask for one. Start reading and learning about Jesus, his life, and how he wants you to live your life. Make an eternal decision today to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist.
This is Shane from Rosati's Pizza. During these uncertain times, it's very important that we take care of each other, your family, your friends, and your loved ones. Just know that we are here to do the best we can. As you know, at this time, dining rooms are closed in Champaign County, but we still have delivery service as well as curbside pickup. We ask you to place your order and then give us a call when you get there, and we'll bring your food out to you. Please understand we're doing the best we can to assist you with your pizza needs as well as catering, and we understand that we have to work together and support the community and all small businesses. Give us a call, 328-2408, or visit us at myrosatis.com/Urbana.
Patience has its place. If you turn on the water first, let it warm up before jumping in the shower, that's smart.
Ah, it's cold!
Waiting until your house is sold to get your moving estimate, that's not a wise decision. Lead time for summer moves can be up to 8 weeks. Planning on moving this summer? Contact 2 Minute a Truck right now, even if you haven't sold your home. Professional estimators with professional moving solutions. 2menchampagne.com. That's a smart move.
Remember this?
Oh, yeah! David Freeze has just sent us into game number 7.
Relive the 2011 Cardinal season one more time.
They came from nowhere.
Hear every pitch, every hit of every game of Cardinals baseball from August 25th against the Pirates through game 7 of the 2011 World Series.
One of the happiest moments in Cardinal history.
The 2011 Cardinals World Series replay starting Monday on the Cardinals Radio Network.
The Cardinals Classic.
They came from nowhere.
Relive some of your favorite Cardinal games from 2011. Monday through Friday at 6:15, Saturdays at 6, Sundays at noon.
One of the happiest moments in Cardinal history.
Right here on ESPN 93.5.
About CMI, Chemical Maintenance Incorporated. They can help your business stay clean even through the rainy spring. We know you'll want and need a good mat program at all of your entrances. For every 20 feet of matting, you'll stop 85%
yikes
of the dirt at the door. CMI can survey your facility and design a mat program for you, including custom logos. Stop by CMI on Bloomington Road or schedule an appointment by calling 217-359-6262. That's 217-359-6262.
Derek, we are essential.
Appreciate it.
According to Governor Pritzker,
yep,
we work in the media and we are essential. I didn't realize, but insurance, also an essential job. I don't think I've ever felt better than finding out that I have two essential jobs. And I'm like, insurances? But onward we go, right?
Yeah.
So we are excited to be
here.
You say so. I mean, I kid, but I'm very happy that we're still here and hope that we're bringing you some entertainment in these crazy times. I know a lot of people. I mean, the two guests we had today are both quarantining, like, or have been. Like Adrian Griffin, we just talked to him, and he said he just finished a 14-day quarantine with he and his wife. They're still in Canada, so I assume, you know, around Toronto, who knows. And then Corey Bradford, who we talked to at 4:30, encourage you to go back and podcast that. That was fun. Corey is in his garage, in his home, being quarantined. He's back in the States. He lives down around Orlando, and he's being quarantined in the garage to stay away from his wife. And wow. I'm like, oh, okay, use that as an excuse that you got shipped to the garage. But
he was quarantined in China?
Yes.
And then back here in the States.
Crazy. And didn't he say he went to Mexico or Dominican or something?
He said Mexico.
Oh, Mexico, yeah. And then that got shut down, so then he came back home, and that's probably where he's now being under the quarantine. It's scary times out there. All right, so Corey Bradford, when we had him on, we started talking about his 2001 team, which was the team, of course, that lost to Arizona in the Elite Eight when 6 Illinois players fouled out. That's 30 fouls right there. Now, how many total fouls? Don't you have it up right now?
I'm up the box score currently. Yeah, Illinois had 36 total fouls.
36 fouls.
5 guys fouled out. Sergio.
Oh, 5. Okay, sorry.
No, six. You're right.
Oh, okay.
Sergio, Marcus Griffin, Brian Cook, Robert Archibald, Lucas Johnson, and Demir Kripalia.
Lucas Johnson, of course, not surprising out of that list. But so those six guys fouled out, and Arizona went what for what from the free throw line?
They went 43 for 56.
56 free throws. How long did that game take?
I have no idea.
I remember I was living in Sullivan, and I was home alone, and I used to chart games. And I had my own style that I would chart on a piece of paper. I would chart each side. I had like, I'd put a line down the middle of the paper. Illinois was on one side, Arizona on the other, so that you could see kind of runs. You know, you'd be like, oh, you'd see a Bradford three, Lucas Johnson tip in, Archibald dunk, and you'd look and say, oh, Illinois went on a 7-0 run there. So that was how I did it, so that I could report for WAND. But I remember that night I was home charting that game, and about the, I want to say about the 28th foul, I took the piece of paper and I crumpled it up and I threw it against the wall and I'm like, this is ridiculous. With a few more words, I can promise you to that. And Illinois just, ugh.
We talked so much about the North Carolina game in 2005 and how James Augustine barely played. Brian Cook played 10 minutes.
Unbelievable. What is it, just an Illinois thing? I mean, what? I know that people get tired of saying that and hearing it. But it's just one example after another that it's true.
I got to be honest. I usually laugh that thing off, the whole saying there. But then for this to happen this year with the NCAA tournament where you finally get back. And then I know everybody's in the same boat as far as the tournament being canceled.
Right.
And Rutgers is probably like, seriously, guys.
No doubt.
But
there's just so many weird things that have happened. I wish somebody would write like a huge article on all the goofy things. Derek?
I'm going to have some time, so maybe
I mean, that would be a great article, and we can all help you come up with, you know, different rules that happen, starting with the Dickie Beals game at Kentucky, probably going back even further than that. But it's just weird, all the stuff that's... Brian Cook plays 10 minutes in a game. Brian Cook wasn't exactly like hack-a-shack foul guy. I mean, he was a skilled big man. And then James Augustine, another skilled big man, hardly plays at all against North Carolina. All right, so that 2001 team played Arizona three times that year and beat them twice.
Yep, lost to them in Maui 79-76.
Oh, I'm sorry, so we lost two out of three.
Yes.
My fault.
Lost to Maui by three, 79-76. The next month played them in the United Center and won 81-73, and then lost in the Elite Eight 87-81 at the Alamo Dome.
And then that Arizona team went on to play who in the championship?
They played Duke in the championship. This Arizona team had Richard Jefferson and Gilbert Arenas.
Wow.
Lost to a Duke team that had Shane Battier, Jay Williams. trying to think
who else would have been.
I had to pull up here.
Okay. And I even asked you, I said, well, I think Illinois played Duke that year.
They did. They lost 78-77. Oh, I got it. Messing up my tabs. My fault, guys.
Oh, that's all right.
Mike Dunleavy, Shane Battier, Carlos Boozer, and Jason Williams. Chris Duhon.
Oh, my.
All on that Duke team. And Illinois lost in Greensboro 78-77. Frank Williams led the way with 19 points.
That was hell of an Illini team.
Did have nine turns. Marcus Griffin had 16 and 9. Serge had 11 and 11. Corey hit three threes, 13 points.
Shocking.
And then on the other side, Jason Williams, 23. Mike Dunleavy, 21.
I mean, that Duke team, Duhon played in the NBA, I think.
Yes.
Dunleavy played in the NBA. Boozer played a long time in the NBA. Jay Williams.
Played a long time.
Battier played a long time. Jay had the motorcycle accident, but would have played a long time. And you're talking about a team at Illinois that went into North Carolina and almost beat them. And so if you beat Arizona there, there's a chance you're playing a national title against Duke, and it'd be a rematch. Think that year. So the two teams that played for the national title, Illinois played four times. Arizona three times, which was a fluke. And then, of course, Duke. That was what Illinois basketball used to be, kids. That's all you need to know right there. You had a program back in the day, and I think that Brad Underwood's going to get it back to that. You had a program back in the day that essentially played the two teams that played for the national title four times in one year, because that Duke game would have been the Big Ten ACC challenge.
Right.
And Illinois would have been probably the top-rated team in the Big Ten. And Corey even said when we beat, you know, we shut down Michigan State, and that's when we knew, you know what, we're good.
Yeah, that was number four Michigan State came to Assembly Hall, and Illinois won by 11.
Wow.
In early February. They also beat number seven Seton Hall in the non-conference in overtime here in Champaign.
That's right.
And in Maui, beat number six Maryland.
Wow. Before Maryland was part of the Big Ten.
Before Maryland was part of the Big Ten.
Do you know, can you find those three games?
I think it was defending champion Maryland.
Oh, that's right. They would have had one.
Or was it the year after they won it all?
Juan Dixon,
yeah.
And then
Steve Blake,
that was the kid.
They might have won the next year.
Okay.
Yeah, they won the next year.
That was, can you find somehow that run that Corey's freshman team went on in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys do this so quick on a computer, but I would love to just, I know that first game was against Minnesota. We got about a minute and a half here, so I just want to go through this. They played Minnesota, and I think Clem Haskins was the coach at Minnesota. I think Minnesota was ranked 21 in the country at the time. Is that right?
23,
okay. That was with Quincy Lewis. How many did he have in that game?
I don't have the – I just have the schedule.
And then they played Indiana.
They won in overtime against Minnesota. They won by three.
Okay.
67-64.
And so that win, and you're like, oh, wow, we get to play again. So then they play Indiana the next day. Indiana was ranked like what? 16th?
17th.
17th.
Beating by 16 points.
Wow. Just destroyed them. Then you played an Ohio State team that was like 10th?
11th.
That was Scooney Penn, Michael Redd, Brian Brown. And then you won by like 1 point, right?
Two.
They had a chance. They were making they missed a free throw on purpose, and Michael Redd took a shot that almost went in. And then you played Michigan State, who was ranked, what, three?
Number two in the country.
Wow, I keep missing it by one. And they got beat pretty easily in that game. Like, Illinois lost by, like, 16 or something.
Yeah. They by one, 17.
Dang it! This is insane. My memory's still a little bit there.
Yeah.
That was such an indelible time for me. Because, again, I went to Chicago with two pair of underwear, one pair of slacks, two shirts. Ended up staying from Thursday through Sunday. I was stealing money from my brother. I was like, Lance, he was in Europe or something at the time, and I'm like, I need money. He's like, there's in the freezer. I'm like, all right.
That's the March Madness we missed out on, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Those were good times. Well, we hope we're keeping you entertained tomorrow. Jack Watkins at 5:05, Assistant Commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference. He was the tournament manager for the NCAA tournament games that were supposed to happen in St. Louis and didn't. So we'll ask him about that. We'll also come up with something else between now and then.
There was an ESPN college basketball way too early top 25.
Oh, yes.
We'll go over that.
We didn't get to that. Yeah, because
there was one omission that some people out there may disagree with.
And then another team that everybody thinks is going to be incredible, and you just beat them to finish the year. Although I don't disagree that they're going to be incredible. I just think that the team that beat them to finish the year is going to be pretty good, too. So, yeah, let's tackle that tomorrow right off the bat. That'll be fun. All right. Thanks for everybody weighing in. Appreciate it. Great news for Charles. Glad you went and got checked, buddy, and I'm glad you're okay. Isaac Ambrose, thank you, buddy. Derek Piper and I were out. Have a great night. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.